Good afternoon to all of you. Good afternoon to those on the webcast. I think I understood from a couple of weeks ago, my friend the Owens were online. If they happen to be, hello back to you. And we hope that those that are watching are having a good Sabbath. We know some of you have been infirmed, and we're glad that we can have you in the audience, as it were, and enjoy the webcast with us. A bit of update for you. We were over in the congregation at St. Petersburg this morning, and just 2 weeks ago here we had a special activity. We had a Seniors Appreciation Day. We did the same thing over in that congregation today, and it went extremely well. And one of the benefits that we had was seemingly a benefit. We had two new families with us today over there, and they seem quite interested. Uniquely, they're from every nation but America. They're from Chile, they're from Germany, they're from Colombia, so they're quite a nice group. They're all bi or trilingual, so they found their way to our door, and they seem to be very nice folks. Some of you will be able to know the title because you've checked the Facebook page for Central Arizona. If you don't know that address, Cassie in the back row over here can get you signed up and linked up. But if you checked that and you see some of the material that we have there, the title of my sermon that was posted, at least I gave it to her. I didn't check it actually myself. It was there. Thank you, Cassie. Was Major Signs You Are Getting Old. Now, that doesn't apply to anyone in here except the Williams. And it barely applies to them. But you see, you know you're old when you're asleep, but others worry that you're dead. Your back goes out more often than you do. You quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks in the room. You buy a compass for the dash of your car. You're proud of your lawnmower. Your arms are almost too short to read the newspaper. You sing along with the elevator music. You enjoy hearing about other people's operations. You no longer think of speed limits as a challenge. People call you at 9 and say, "Did I wake you?" The end of your tie doesn't come anywhere near the top of your pants. Buy a longer tie. You cannot remember the last time you lay on the floor to watch television. Your ears are hairier than your head. You got cable just so you could watch the Weather Channel. And the last one, you're sitting in a rocker and you can't get it started. The last time I spoke here, I asked you to prepare for your final days and to age gracefully. And that opportunity in speaking gave me other ideas, and this one falls out of those ideas. In Isaiah 46:4, as we saw when we had our together activity 2 weeks ago, it says, "And even to your old age I am He, and even to the gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear Even I will carry and I will deliver you. God has a distinct interest in those that are showing age. Sometimes when we think about religious life, the ones that are doing it most aggressively might be young families. They have children and they're trying to bring them up in the way that they know the Bible explains. But this activity of being a Christian doesn't stop when your children leave home. Your opportunity to continue past those days of brown hairs to gray hairs, they must continue. So I have stories to tell you today, stories about elderly people who were praised by God and who were prized by God. God has a distinct interest in those that are over the hill, as we might say. I want to make sure you are aware of his words to that through the stories that we have so many of. I had eight. I've narrowed it down from the eight to a fewer number. And the first story comes in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua and Caleb had been a team going into the promised land when Israel was coming out of and escaping Egypt. And when they were making the move, spies were sent into the promised land. And the only two who said we could do something were Joshua and Caleb. So in Joshua 14, beginning with verse 6, we have a story. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh and grandson of Kenaz, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh and Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when the Lord's servant Moses sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land." So he still was in his prime hiking years. He could go off through the land. He could be very calm and quiet. He knew how to be stealthy. He knew what to be careful of. He was only 40. "I reported to him exactly what I thought, but my companions discouraged the people. However, I was completely loyal to the Lord my God. On that day, Moses swore this oath, 'The land your feet walked on will be a permanent inheritance to you and your descendants because you were completely loyal to the Lord your God.'" And he had then a strong thread through his life of loyalty. And so he says, "Look at me. The Lord has kept me alive as he promised. It's been 45 years since Israel wandered in the desert when the Lord made this promise to Moses. So now, look at me today. I'm 85 years old." As an older man, he's remembering the promise. And he goes on to say, "I'm still as fit to go to war now as I was when Moses sent me out." He had maintained himself, and in all of his activities, he still had the vigor that he needed. So he says, "Now give me this mountain region which the Lord spoke of that day. You heard that the people of Anak are still there and they have large fortified cities. If the Lord is with me, I will force them out as he promised." So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Hebron is still the inheritance of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, because Caleb was completely loyal to the Lord God of Israel. In the past, Hebron was called Kiriath Abba. Araba was the greatest man among the people of Anak. So the land had peace. Now the end of this story is in the next chapter. But I want you to see this thread that this man at 85 is still very loyal, extremely God-centered. And I want you that have those age years with you, not to give up and not to get soft, but to stay true and whole just like Caleb did. He made you promises. And when you're young, the promises have a different aura. You get old and you start to think about promises and the fact that the end is coming. What's going to happen to me? So when we look at the next chapter, Joshua 15, in verse 13. 15:13, and Joshua gave Caleb a share of the land among the people of Judah, as the Lord had told him. It was Kiriath Arba, now called Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. And Caleb forced out Sheshai, Amon, and Talmai. These are the descendants of Anak from Hebron. These three families, these three tribes of Anak, he forced out and indeed took their lives. Now, it would be of some interest as we continue reading 15. And here he marched against the people living in Debar. That was called Kirith Sephar before. And so he does take them on and he obliterates them. Smith's Bible Dictionary gives us some understanding about this word Anak or Anakim. It's kind of a different name. Who are these giant people? Well, the name Anak actually just means long neck. So they were very tall and had a longer neck. They were a big people. And when he drove them out, it says finally in the Smith's Bible Dictionary, after this time they vanished from history. This Caleb, at 85, wipes them out. He is always going to stand with God and stand for His promises and believe. And this is important for our seniors to remember this lesson. God was faithful. And a reflection of that was in Caleb's activities to God. After 45 years, and still a soldier at 85, these mighty giants were destroyed. Now, you know, when you turn 85, is one of the things that happens, you start losing your memory. He hadn't lost his. He remembered that hike 45 years previous. But I know sometimes you in your life, you'll find some words it's hard to come up with. Who? What are they? You know, and you struggle and you struggle and you say you've got a senior moment. Well, what do people call memory loss in a parrot? Polynesia. I had to give you a parrot joke today. He didn't have Polynesia, did he? The second story I want you to consider, you know well, it's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. He was taken, Daniel was taken by Nebuchadnezzar about 605, 604 BC. As a young prince in the land of Judah, he was brought to Nebuchadnezzar's courts and brought into the palace and into the thinking of the great minds of the Babylonian kingdom to be part of the government of Babylon. He was probably about 20 years old when that happened. You can say, well, he's a young man. He maybe was 18, 19, 20, maybe 22. But he was young. And you remember the story how he and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to eat the portion of food served them and stayed with a different diet, and their complexions were better. Now, he was in the government of these Babylonians with Nebuchadnezzar and then with Belshazzar. And various things happened, and he would remember writings on walls and give them many, many Tigal-Pharesain understanding to visions. He is also very active in the world of the Persians, Darius and Cyrus, the leaders of the Medes and Persians. And of course then, as I say, one of his activities was to be thrown in the lion's den because he prayed 3 times a day. Now this story of Daniel, I want to pick up in Daniel 6, verse 15. And most of my selections today I'm reading from the God's Word translation for the sake of ease. We're reading stories, I'm not getting into a doctrinal discussion. I think you can appreciate that. But 6:15 of Daniel. Daniel's accusers gathered in front of the king and they said to him, "Remember, Your Majesty, the Medes and Persians have a law that no decree or statute the king makes can be changed." So the king gave the order, and Daniel was brought to him and thrown into the lion's den. And the king told Daniel, "May your God, who you always worship, save you." And I think that was not said in jest. It was a true thing. He believed that Daniel was a good person. Then a stone was brought and placed over the opening of the den. The king put his seal on the stone using his ring and the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation could not be changed. Then the king went into his palace, spent the night without food or company. He could not get to sleep. At dawn, as soon as it was light, the king got up and quickly went to the lion's den. As he came near the den where Daniel was, the king called to Daniel with anguish in his voice, saying, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was God, whom you always worship, able to save you from the lions?" And Daniel replied, "Your Majesty, may you live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they couldn't hurt me. He did this because he considered me innocent. Your Majesty, I have not committed a crime." So the king was overjoyed and had Daniel taken out of the den. And when he was taken out, the people saw that he was completely unharmed because he trusted in his God. In your life, trust must be there. We live in a time in our lives where things are getting tougher. The dollar doesn't go as far. Foods are more expensive. Utilities, gasoline, everything's going up. Everything's going up, but the money's in your bank. And it requires at this point that you have that kind of faith. You're older. You didn't worry about these things. You had the world by the tail. You could come and go as you wanted. You could make plans. Now you have to be very careful. In fact, we all have to be careful, don't we? But as you think back to this man, Daniel, he trusted God to see him through a very difficult time. Now, I don't know what kind of lions you might be facing. I don't think they're the actual ones sitting up there on the speaker. But you do have some lions in life. We all do. So continuing with verse 24. The king ordered those men who had brought charges against Daniel to be brought to him. They, their wives, and their children were thrown into the lion's den. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions attacked them and crushed all their bones. God takes care of his own. It's important that you always remember that you, no matter what your age, though you have gray hairs and you get a little tired, do not give up on trusting God. So Darius wrote to the people of every province, nation, and language, "I wish you peace and prosperity." Now, if you track through Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus and Darius, you come up with something that's quite interesting. That's 68 years. When Daniel was thrown into this lion den, we don't know the exact age, but he was either 85 or between 85 and 88. He was an old man. We have old men in our room here, old women. And when you might be thrown to the wolves, as it were, whatever that wolf or lion might be, it's important that you trust God. You get old and you get your fabric of thought is confused by various things that you see in life, the prejudices, the inequities, and what God crafted in you as a young person that was fairly simple becomes a difficult way sometimes. And you have to get over what you see going on around you. Sometimes the worldly do succeed more than us. But no one has the promise of the kingdom like you. So you must go forward. I don't imagine I would like to be thought of throwing into some hole with lions or snakes with a bunch of non-believers. But these things have to be considered. Now let's make a little transition. I've talked about two men. There's women in the Bible too, right? So let's make a transition, see some examples from women. And I want you to consider these stories about elderly women who were prized by God and praised by God. And the two examples I've chosen are in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke chapter 1 is the first. Now the whole chapter is part of the topic. And you could read the whole chapter. I'm going to read various selections for the sake of getting to the point that I need to make. And we'll start with Luke 1, verse 5. Luke 1, 5. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the division of priests named for Abijah. Zechariah's wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. Now the priesthood at that point comprised of thousands of priests. And there was too many of them to work all at the same time efficiently. They needed all of them on the holy days, but otherwise they were put into crews, you might say. And these were called courses, and there were 24 courses. Each course would work for 2 weeks. And the eighth course was called the course of Abijah. And this is interesting when you start reading history to help you understand when Christ was born and understand that it is not a Christmas birth. This helps you understand the dating situation, setting dates. Now, she was a direct descendant of Aaron, which becomes interesting in itself. The pedigree was kept. They were very careful about keeping those kinds of records. Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth had God's approval. They followed all the Lord's commands and regulations perfectly. Yet they never had any children because Elizabeth couldn't become pregnant. God's Word translation then says next, both of them were too old to have children. And as it says in your King James, which you may have, they were well stricken in years. I don't know if you're well stricken in years yourself, but if you've got a few, you're probably stricken. And here we are with a room full of people, and some of you are stricken. You're old, past having children. 8, Zechariah was on duty with his division of priests, and as he served in God's presence, he was chosen by priestly custom to go into the Lord's temple to burn incense. So his job was incense burner. All the people were praying outside while he was burning incense. Then to the right of the incense altar, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and Zechariah was troubled and overcame with fear. And the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you will name him John. And he will be your pride and joy. And many people will be glad that he was born. As far as the Lord is concerned, he will be a great man. He will never drink wine or any other liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring many people in Israel back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord with the Spirit and the power that Elijah had. He will change parents' attitudes towards their children. He will change disobedient people so that they will accept the wisdom of those whom have God's approval. In this way, he will prepare the people for their Lord." So he has promised a son, and the name is then given, John. And he's going to be a very spiritual person. Now Zechariah said to the angel, "What proof is there for this? I'm an old man, and my wife is beyond her childbearing years." And the angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. God sent me to tell you this good news. But because you didn't believe what I said, you'll be unable to talk until the day this happens. Everything will come true at the right time." Well, his work was over. He went home, and his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and didn't go out in public for 5 months. She said, "The Lord has done this for me. He has removed my public disgrace." And like other women, she probably felt that there was people talking of her if she didn't have children, that there was something about her that was difficult. Evidently, in our parlance, Zechariah and Elizabeth got it on. And they had a relationship, even though they were very old. Well, when came time to have her child, she gave birth to a son, it says in verse 57. In 8:58, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very kind to her, and they shared her joy. Now, when the child was 8 days old, they went to the temple to circumcise him. They were going to name him Zechariah, after his father. But his mother said, "Absolutely not. His name will be John." And the friend said, "You don't have any relatives by the name of John." So they motioned to the baby's father to see what he wanted to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." Side issue, there is something to write on, something to write with. He knew how to write. He knew language. He knew how to do a capital J. So these are not people without opportunity, without knowledge. And so this man finally has a son. Now, I don't think anyone in here that is over their years of childbearing wants to have children. I'm not saying that that is what you pray for. But what do you want? What do you need? She wanted a son. He wanted a son. And God gave to them a son with great spiritual insight, who became John the Baptist. Sometimes in life you have to pray for distinct things. I've always been amazed at my wife and the three children we have. Everyone is came about, was born with what my wife asked for. My wife must have unbelievable faith. We couldn't have kids for a while. But so has life, and I'm thankful that but we do find ourselves in this age when there's things that are happening, and there's something you need. You may not be a son named John, but there are things that you should pray for. Whether it's transportation, whether it's income, whether it's simply a greater matter of peace. Do not discount your relationship with God. Because you're old, don't think He's passed you by. And you are no longer as important. You might be more important. These examples of Caleb, Daniel, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, they show us that God does value people in their senior years. Sometimes you get old and there's things that happen. I remember the little old lady of Pasadena. Now, she had real poor vision. I don't know how she got along in that super stock Dodge, but she had poor vision. And she did have three sons. And in spite of her degenerative eye condition that had left her nearly blind, these three sons each wanted to prove that they loved her so much. And they set about doing this, and they were trying to outdo each other. Son number one bought her an expensive Mercedes. It included a chauffeur. And she could go anywhere she wanted. He thought that would meet with her approval. Son number two bought her a 15-room mansion. A big house. Finely appointed. He thought that would surely be the best thing that he could offer to her. The third son decided to do something even better. He decided to give her his most prized possession, his parrot. Which he had been training for 15 years. He trained the parrot to memorize the Bible. And you could say anything to the parrot, like Joshua 6:12, the parrot would memorize it and would repeat it to you. Bart wanted that bird. But this old lady is the one that got the bird. Her third son gave her this magnificent parrot. Well, when the old lady thought about it and what her first son had given to her, that magnificent Mercedes and chauffeur, she said, "Well, son, the car is beautiful, but I'm tired of going. It has everything I could ever want, sure, but I just don't get out much anymore. The chauffeur, really, he's a nuisance to me. So please, take the car back, and I'll return it to you." The son that had given her the 15-room mansion made a point of saying, "This is just what you need, Mom." But she said, "No, son, I live in one room, like some of you. I don't want to clean 14 other rooms. The place is just way too big." "So, son, it's too large. I can't take care of it. Please take it back." Finally, she went to the third son and said, "Son, I just want to thank you for your most thoughtful gift. That chicken was delicious." I haven't run out of parrot jokes yet, have I? Now, sometimes we do run out of stuff, things, patience, and we need to ask for more. Ask God to help us when the going is tough. Elizabeth did. I wonder what Daniel prayed in the lion's den. And every day that Caleb went out to battle, he did it with God in his mind. The fourth story, again in Luke, of a woman named Anna. It's in the very next chapter, Luke 2. In verse 36, we read about Anna. She was known as a prophetess. And so there she was in the temple. And she was a descendant of Phinehas from the tribe of Asher, it says in verse 36. She was now very old. Her husband had died 7 years after they were married. As a young widow, for years and years, for decades, she was alone. And she put all of her attention on her relationship with God and serving Him. 37 says she had been a widow for 84 years. This is an old gal. But Anna never left the temple courtyard, but worshiped day and night by fasting and praying. At that moment, she came up to Mary and Joseph and began to thank God. She spoke about Jesus to all who are waiting for Jerusalem to be set free. And it will be someday. Goes in 39, it says, after doing everything the Lord's teachings required, Joseph and Mary returned to their hometown of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was with him. And this woman had been praying for that selection all those years. That was the focus. There's going to be a king to come. And she fasted and prayed daily for that. So there's something you can consider as you find your years coming to you. So I give you 4 points of activity here, 4 challenges. 1, be patient. It might take 45 years, but God will keep His promises. See, God isn't finished with you until you are finished. So keep on with faithfulness and patience. Challenge number 2, actively claim the promises of God. Claim those promises. They're there. Hold on to them. Claim them. Be positive. Force yourself into the concept of understanding they were written for you, not someone else. They're God's promises to you. The Bible is alive for you personally. Point 3, challenge 3, never underestimate what God can do through someone older than you. And I say this to the young minds in the room. Sometimes those that are older can do something for you. But you only find out what that is by talking with them, asking their advice. And so that moves towards challenge number 4. Respect those who are older. Lean on their experiences. They've fought a lot of battles, and they can save you a lot of energy, injury, and mistake. Don't be too proud to seek their input and their views on life. I don't need to take you through the writings of Paul, where he tells us to really look at what those that are senior amongst us can do and count them very strongly as advisors. As a final scripture, let's turn to one short chapter, Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Let's read the entire chapter, verse 1. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So until the day you die, be God-centered. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. We see in our society that you cannot trust man. You cannot trust the politicians. It doesn't matter what land you're in, you cannot trust them. His breath goes forth, he will return to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keeps truth forever. He executes judgment for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. And sometimes that is spiritual food, isn't it? The Lord looses the prisoners. He opens the eyes of the blind. He raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. When your shoulders start to stoop, age is set in, you have these various ailments, remember, God loves righteousness. He doesn't love and just consider how you look. He wants to look inside. 9. The Lord preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. And I will add the widower. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, even the God of Zion, unto all generations. Praise the Lord. You have some challenges ahead of you. I don't know what you and I have to face as challenges. But don't be defeated by the senior years. And if you see someone that is a senior, consider them. They might have good advice for you.